All aboard, next stop, adventure. This is Excelsior. She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Brittany.
Thank you all for listening to Excelsior, brought to you by me, Brittany, and Brittany Photography. If you like my podcast, please consider donating to Excelsior. There are three ways you can help donate. If you go to brittleyp.com, that's brittleyghp.com, and you click on ways to donate. There are three ways you can help out Excelsior, and that's becoming a Patreon member, buying some of my photography, and or a one-time donation through Venmo. And everything is on the website, so check it out. Beep, boop, da, pop, pop. If you become a Patreon member, memberships are as low as $1 a month. And as a member, you get behind-the-scenes content. You get a free ticket to my art shows that I do once a month. You get gifts from podcast members. And you also get one free headshot a month. I'm starting a $20 headshots every week on Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at various locations around Minneapolis. To see where I will be, check out my website, brittleyp.com, and it will tell you where I will be that week. You can sign up on the website ahead of time and get a headshot for $20 or show up and get it for $30. If you guys want to check out my website, you can see when the next art show is, see where my next headshots are going to be. That is all going to be on brittleyp.com. I also now have a YouTube channel, and that is Brittany Excelsior. And you can also check out my Instagram, which is Brittany_Excelsior. Thank you for listening.
I need an interview with you.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We should do an interview.
We're doing it now.
We're doing it right now?
Oh, yeah. Hi. Hi. How's it going?
I'm okay. Waiting for my second beer.
Oh, I see it.
My next brewski.
I see it. It's up there.
It is?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, go get it. Well, I'll wait. It's surprise interview.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Got all my friends at open mic and brought a new person I just trained in on the bass for our band.
Oh, nice. Who's that?
Yes, his name's Solomon.
Solomon.
Yes.
Well, I guess you should introduce yourself. You want to say who you are and what your music?
I'm Haley Ann, and I play for Kinder Dosage, Ditch Pigeon, and the Floating Perspectives.
Nice. Yeah, and you play at Keg and Case every week, right?
Every time they're here. I love Cassidy. Yeah. Who doesn't love Cassidy?
Who doesn't love Cassidy?
No one.
Good answer. Okay, so you already played tonight.
I did.
Okay. What did you sing? Did you sing any, like, bangers? Sometimes you sing some bangers.
Yeah, the first one was We Own the Night by Dance Gavin Dance, and then the second song was an original.
Ooh, a Haley original?
Yes.
Do you say Haley original, or do you say Haley Ann original?
I usually just say this is an original. Tonight, Cassidy introduced me by my full name, and I was like, I almost didn't recognize it because nobody said my last name in so long.
Wait, what's your last name?
Coop.
Coop.
It's like, up next is Haley Coop. I'm like, where?
Who is that? Who is that? Oh, fun. I'm sad I missed it. Do you do any other shows? Do you have Renaissance coming up?
Well, Renaissance started yesterday, but my bartending spot was taken by my ex-girlfriend, so I can't go. I don't want to go.
You don't want to go?
No.
Okay.
It'd be drama and weird.
Oh, my mic is being pulled away.
Oh, yeah, by the dog.
By the dog.
Can you say hi to Ryan?
Yeah.
Ryan played the set tonight.
Oh, did you play a set tonight?
I just jumped in when told.
Who are you?
My name's Ryan. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Brittany.
Welcome.
Hi. You're interviewed. Surprise interview.
Excellent.
How do you feel?
6 out of 10.
Did I miss your set?
I don't really have a set. I just showed up with a drum and I'm playing when told to play.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Everyone could use you.
Yes, it's true. I'm usable.
That's awesome. Who'd you play with, Haley?
So I played with Haley. I played with Cassidy. I played with some of the works at Pimento. I forgot his name. I'm going to play with somebody that's playing a flute shortly. I don't know. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. See how it goes.
Player?
No, there's a flautist right there. I can see her. She's sitting down.
Oh, wonderful.
Because we lost Danielle. She was playing for a while.
Oh, I don't know who Danielle is.
Oh, she was
is.
So good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Cool.
Sweet.
Oh, cool. So where do people find you if they need a drummer?
Oh, I don't know. I'm usually at home.
Okay.
In St. Paul. In St. Paul. I'm usually listening to Ween, yeah. So that's all you need to do to get me happy, right? Yeah. Tell me you're playing in a Ween band and I'll follow you around town.
Ween's pretty good, yeah.
Pretty good.
They're pretty
Hands
good.
Down best. Hands down, by far, the best.
Hey, how do you get a drummer off your doorstep?
How?
Paying for the pizza.
Hey, how do you know when a drummer's knocking at your door?
How?
The knocks progressively get faster.
I love drummer jokes.
How can you tell the stage is level if the drummer's drooling out of both sides of their mouth?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I want to learn how to drum. How do I learn how to drum?
Practice a lot. Like, a lot. Like, just don't stop practice. Just do it 20 minutes a day and then do it 30 minutes a day and do it 100 minutes a day. And that's it.
That's it.
10 years later, you'll be great.
Okay.
It just takes 10 years.
Yeah, just 10 years. Yeah. Do you know Nicole Jean Rode?
Yes.
I love her.
Yes, I've met her at least a couple of times. We had some funny moments on a porch one night.
That's fun. Porches are fun to have moments on, right? Yeah, she's a great drummer, too.
Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, have you seen her drum?
Not recently. It's been about 4 years, probably. But yeah, maybe even six. I'm going to say 6 years since I've seen her play.
Okay. I apologize for my dog. She's interrupting this, but that's okay. Yeah, Nicole's great. That's one of my favorite female drummers around here. And a girl named Liz. I don't know her last name. Do you know a girl named Liz that drums?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, no.
Very vague. Very vague. That's all I know. Do you drum?
No.
Why?
I cannot drum. I can play the cajon pretty well. I can play a djembe pretty well.
A what?
Djembe.
A what?
So, like, the top of it is usually sheepskin or... There's another one that they use. And then they, like, wire wrap the sides, and then they put cloth over that. And then it's got this, like, really low cushion. It's kind of like the tablas. So it's got two separate tones on it.
I love that. Oh, fun. I want to see that. Do you ever bring it out here?
No, it was actually somebody I used to know's. And then they're, like, really expensive because they, like, hand make every single one.
So you don't have one anymore?
No.
Somebody I used to know.
Do you still have a djembe? Maybe.
Why did they have to cut you off?
What?
Is this somebody you used to know?
Oh.
Why'd you have to cut me off?
Make out like... What is it?
Used to be a stranger.
What?
But it feels so rough.
But it feels so rough. You didn't have to stoop so low.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Have your friends collect your records and then change your number.
See, I just hum that part because I don't actually know the lyrics. But, okay, cool. Well,
yeah, so cool.
So you're not going to do the Renaissance. Are you going to go visit?
I might, yeah, I'll probably go a couple times because I have my pass so I can just, like, drive in.
All your friends are there.
Yeah. Aww. I miss them. They're wonderful. It's okay. I saw, like, 5 Renaissance people at a rave I went to last week with Talia.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It was cool. I didn't like the music, but I liked the people. I kept running into Ren folk. I'm like, hi.
Oh, fun. Where was this rave?
Was it Skyway?
Oh, cool. Yeah. Fun. How's,
Talia.
I call her Annie. So what? You're talking about Annie?
No, Talia, the blonde
Talia.
Over there.
Oh, Talia. Okay, I guess I don't know who that is.
Oh, you're talking
I think
about
Talia. Right? Yeah, I was like, wait, what did you call her?
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Okay, well, thanks for this little interview.
You're welcome. I love you.
Oh, I love you. This is so great. Actually, can we talk about this day, how beautiful it is out here?
I mean, I'm waiting for it to not be this warm. Last week was my dream. It was nice. It was like 60.
Today was hot.
Today was
hot.
A little warm, yeah. Yesterday was a little warm.
Yeah, it was. But I really like that I can bring my dog out here to the shows.
That's true.
Yeah.
If I had a dog, I'd bring... Well, I have a gecko I could probably bring out.
Fun. She would like it out here. Would she?
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
Today. It's warm.
It's warm.
Just bring your gecko on the warmest days so it makes you happier.
Sometimes I brought her to the coffee shop like when I was living in Uptown. So I just like walk her to the coffee shop with me on my shoulder. And then everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's a gecko. Can I say hi?
Aww.
It's like the same as puppies.
Well, what coffee shop? I love.
That was the corner one on Bryant and 32nd.
Oh, yeah. I like that one. I love Uptown.
I like the lady that owns it. She's super nice.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
She's usually the one working. She's like mid-50s. And like, she's the one that created that like cayenne pepper mocha. It was good.
That sounds, I haven't had that, but that sounds good. I'm a caffettoer. I really like caffetto.
I like their Italian sodas.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I've never had one there.
They're good.
So addicted to caffeine that I don't think I could veer off.
Oh, yeah, I understand. I'd get like a shot of espresso and an Italian.
So. Oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
You do both at the same time.
I'm going to be start to do headshots at Caffetto on Tuesdays.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I start this Tuesday.
Nice.
I know.
I love that.
I know. What else do you love?
Well, you.
Oh, I love you. I love that I'm here. This is so great.
I know. I like this.
But we can do an official interview sometime, like,
we
not
should.
On the go.
We got to do one of those weird pictures, like you cover me up in cheese or hot dogs or something. Some
I would
weird
love
shit.
That.
Baked beans?
I would
can we
love
do a tub
that.
Full of baked beans?
I'd yes. Like yes. Hey, okay. I'm going to strawberry. Surprise interview.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi.
Yeah.
I missed you today. I missed everybody.
Not everybody. Wait. We got some good people playing.
Oh, yeah, right now. But everyone I know.
Yeah, I know, right? Everybody I know.
Yeah.
It was good. I feel like, you know, when you get these moments of vulnerability and you're up there on the stage and, like, you're all in that moment together. It's
yeah.
one of those where aww. You're just kind of, like, holding some power. It was a powerful vocal night.
Yeah.
Guitar.
Do you come here? So I get confused because sometimes I see you here, sometimes I see you only every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you go to more?
Well, maybe only every Monday.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's why I'm surprised to see you.
Yeah.
Because maybe I'll see you tomorrow too.
And Cassidy took a month off. So that's why you haven't seen me here, it wasn't happening. So that I thought that. I was like, man, it feels like a minute since I've been here.
Yeah, same here.
So
okay, that's why.
I might kind of go to equal amounts.
Okay.
The Terminal Bar has a good open mic Tuesday nights.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, we had a really good late night throwdown. Post a show at Only Every Monday. I went to the Terminal. And we sat out in the back, in the patio with the band because there was a long list. And we were like, oh, we're smoke. You guys smoke. I'll play guitar, tune up. We ended up jamming for like half an hour with like a band. We had a bass player and a viola.
Ooh.
And it was playing my songs. We broke down some, like, No Diggity. It was pretty fun.
Oh,
dude,
fun.
It got fun.
So that's out back? The Terminal Bar?
It was out back. And then we went
I didn't know they
stage.
Had an out back. They have an out back stage or just, like, out back?
Just a couple benches. And,
oh,
like,
okay. Oh, that's why I was like, I didn't know they had a backstage. But
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
I love summer. It's coming to an end.
Never.
It's not quite.
You
we can't
south.
Say that again.
I'm just going to head south.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to chase summer this year.
I bet you are. You have that van. You do the van life.
I just loaded my van up.
You're so inspiring.
Oh, my gosh. So I load it all up. I get it all done. Storage unit, finally. Most of my stuff's out of my house.
Yeah.
Cleaning the apartment. Get the van. Converted it up. It looks really nice. Looks like Peru. It just feels like going to the Peruvian, like, in the Alps or something, you know? The
cool.
Alps and the Peru.
What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do for money? What are you going to do with your apartment? What's going to happen?
You're going to have to watch and find out.
Okay.
We're all in this together, man.
Do you have a
I
blog?
I just go forward.
No. Don't put it in reverse.
I did, dude. So, I did. I totally did. And it was like an immediate... You know when you pop you're driving down the freeway and accidentally get in reverse? I'm like, get him! There's like that jump.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, snap, dog. So, I did that, yep, with my life recently. And I was like, little reverse, and it was like a quick whip back. And it was like, nope, don't do that. So, I'm picking up the pieces.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta fix the engine, man.
I know. Do you know how to do that?
No, I...
You got people to do that for you?
I'm in the body, like life.
Yeah.
Oh. Nah. Yeah, metaphors.
Can you fix that, though?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard, though. We need a manual.
So I, like, fixed the caliper. For some reason, the caliper stuck. I think the analog brake system, maybe it was locked or something.
Are we talking about you still?
No, now we're talking about an actual van.
Okay.
It's been 24 hours. This is where karma comes in instant. If you're like really going in your life mission.
Yeah.
And you are living life and appreciating and just in it. Be careful what you think about. Because you might manifest that. Because I was like, man, what if everything goes wrong? Da-da-da. And my car breaks. And like, da-da-da.
It's so true.
And you know what? It happened in 24 hours. And I was like, noted. Like, watch the thoughts, man.
Yeah, okay, so
gosh,
here's my thing.
Wow.
Here's my question.
Karma.
Because I've dealt with that a lot. Is it what comes first? Is it that you're manifesting it or you're foreshadowing it?
Manifesting.
You think?
Well, you mean foreshadowing, like in the background, kind of aware of it, and it's just kind of becoming
like,
part of
it. Like it's inevitable, it's going to happen, and your brain is preparing you. It's like, you know, or like you're seeing a premonition. And then you're like, oh, that's no, manifesting. But is it? Like, what if you just...
So what I did is I, you know, I can feel... I did a series of kind of experiments with it to see what could I manifest. Like, could I manifest like $2,000? And I did in like 4 days. I was like, what the heck?
Okay, what's your secret? I need to know. So I need $2,000.
My secret is I literally say out loud, all right, universe. Because I was like, okay, they say I'm a good manifester. And then I thought about it and I was like, I guess I kind of, if I want to go somewhere, it happens really quick. And I thought, well, let's try it out. So I was like, all right, universe. I was like, I think it might have been, all right, universe, I need like $2,000. Because I got to pay this bill like right now. And then I got a call like the next day, maybe with a day and a half later, like right away. And it was like, hey, we actually really, really need people. And it's like a gig. And I ended up working this gig for a week. It was like $2,500 one week. I was like, holy crap. I said, okay, what's next? And I was like, And I started doing little experiments. And it turns out like if you say it out loud, it does make it more real. And you can really, whatever, you know, for me, it's just like in my communication, it's like, what's up, universe? Like, all right, so like if I, you know, can I have this? Like if I'm ready and this appears, is this like, I don't know, you gotta, maybe everyone has a secret, but that's mine. It's just I literally, I've taken to saying it out loud.
I really like that. Yeah, saying it out loud. I'm trying to figure out how to manifest because...
Oh, really?
I mean, I think I'm doing it. I know I'm doing it, but I also don't know how to control it. You know what I mean? Like, or
yes, it is a tough thing to control because if you are really good at manifesting, you have a crappy day and you just have any kind of like almost karmic kind of like thought where you're like, oh, and you're just like, oh, that's not like, I shouldn't be thinking that way. I should be positive. Or you catch yourself in these moments. If you slip in that or you start thinking about this stuff too much, mm-hmm. next thing you know, because you're like, man, oh, I should have changed that. Maybe, like, if I don't do this, like, will this happen with my, you know, like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, say a bank account. You're like, oh, I should have switched that into my bank account or something. You know, and you got to, like, manifest it where, I don't know. I just lost it from manifestation into the bank account. I was manifesting something else, and now I'm like...
Yeah.
Bring me back. Where was I talking about?
Okay, you're talking about, so if you're having a crappy day and then you wake up and you're like...
See, I already forget about it. The best thing to do, there's a couple of things. One thing I like to do is if you can take deep breaths and imagine kind of your auric fields, but specifically wrist bands around your wrist that are white and energy. Like, and they go, whatever hits it from outside goes down to the earth, goes into the earth and is recycled. And when you can breathe it back in and do like a minute or, you know, 15 minutes worth of breathing like this, thinking, okay, I'm letting go of anything and I'm just kind of holding space for it to experience. Almost like the mental visualization would be you sitting aside from a river and you're watching the river and there's a big mountain of sand or a little like beaver house, you know? You've got like the little stick build or you've just got different things blocking the water. And you can sit aside and kind of meditate with that and step outside of the river and be present with it. And that is our consciousness. So sitting with that and literally saying, okay, I'm going to sit still and take deep breaths. And whatever isn't me, I give it an exit now, you know? And then when you're done, you're like, all right, universe, so now that that's cleared, let's chat about this car. And next thing you know, you get a car. Like, that's, it could be that easy. And you get a car. The universe is out there giving it away.
I love that.
Great vibes.
Yeah, like, I do feel like I asked my friend's mother for help getting a, like picking out my first car. Like, I mean, I've had cars before, but I bought them for my parents. It's not like I went to the lot and picked it out, you know? So I was like, I'm going to go to a dealership, pick out my first car by myself, you know? And she was like, manifest. And I was like, manifest.
Yeah. Oh,
manifest a car.
You can draw it. I've drawn out things, draw it and put it up on a wall. You can make a vision board. A lot of people talk about that. But another thing I like to do is put little notes around the house that like can be art, it can be something, but something that makes you stop and go, I'm beautiful, I'm like happy, I'm healthy, I'm peaceful, I'm at ease, and like I'm moving forward, you know, like things that you can look at and be like, okay, I'm connected, say I'm connected to the mountains, you know, something in the mountains, that there's some picture that every time I just stop and I make myself stop and be there and imagine myself in the mountains taking a deep breath, mountain air, and like that can calm the cortisol, and then whatever's in the way of your manifestations will kind of clear the way. So we're moving forward. Consciousness, man.
Yeah.
Without that, our body wouldn't be inanimate, right?
Yeah.
So are we fully animated by consciousness then? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the heart, we can just do like, literally we are consciousness.
I like that. That's really nice.
At least that's what we're at right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
I know.
So what are we doing? Were you on your podcast?
Yeah, I'm doing street podcast. Here, I'll stop it because I feel like that was a great interview. Thank you.
Yeah.
Intro view. Yeah. Me too. So that makes two of us. Okay. Where's your stuff?
They're intermingled.
Okay.
So I got number 2, number 9, 10. 12, 14, was it 16 at the end? And then the little cluster that's off to the right.
Oh, cool.
You know you're an artist when you have too much art to count. When you have more art than you can keep track of quantity-wise, that's how you know you're an artist.
Oh, cool. So what's your medium? Is that just like dry or
screen printing?
Screen printing. Oh, cool. Okay. That's awesome. How long have you been doing that?
Few years now. I studied art at school, and so I've been making art for like years, but didn't start screen printing probably until 2016 or 17. And 2017 is when I started this.
Oh, cool. All these t-shirts are yours?
Yeah.
What? All of this at the table?
This table, everything is mine, and then there's more on our website as well.
Your style is super dark and like kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I like it. Do you do hair here?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No. Okay. No. We are just guests.
You're just guests.
Do you ever study the art that you make?
No.
I was like, you study art. What if you just like studied your own art? Like
I study all my art.
No, a lot of it's not very deep. It's more just to be cool, just to look
cool.
Be cool. Yeah.
You do look cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is this all you do? Is make this art, screen printing, or?
I also do some like graphic design work and a miscellaneous graphic. Some a little bit of web design, tiny bit, but mostly this.
Oh, very cool. I love it. Do you have a shop online?
I do. My cards are going to be right down there.
Okay. Yeah.
Just LoftyDog.com.
Do you have a dog?
Yeah, that. Her name was Charlie, and it's named after her. She passed away in 2020.
Aw, cute. I love Charlie.
Just a little bean.
Cute. Awesome. Well, thanks.
Absolutely.
I'm going to look around. This is super cool. Is this a space cat?
Mm-hmm.
What? Dude, cool. Nice. You want to interview?
Yeah. Can I try it out?
Yeah,
can we get you? Cool. Okay, Bailey, if you could use three words to describe your art, what would they be?
Creepy, cute creatures.
Where is your art?
Creepy cute creatures. creature.
That's so cool. Is that a twin mermaid?
Yeah.
Is that a conjoined mermaid?
Yes. And the shells I found when I was in a vacation in Florida.
What?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Where did you get those? Did you find those tiny skulls too?
No, I made those out of clay.
What about the mermaid tail?
That is paper mache and clay.
What, even with the bones and all?
Yes.
That is so cool. I love that. How much is that?
Not for sale, because I'm attached.
not for sale, because I'm sent.
So you're attached, like they're attached?
Yeah. Like, is that attached to my heart? They're like little pieces of my soul. I'm not ready to get rid of them yet.
Oh, yes.
Maybe one day. Yep.
That one you're not selling either?
Nope.
What are you selling?
I think the ones that have souls. I think actually those.
Did you say the ones that have souls?
Those two. Yeah, the souls.
I'm only selling the ones that have souls.
The ones that aren't a part of my soul.
Is that yours too, number 4?
Yes.
Okay, so
the frame stuff up there on that wall is for sale, but like the original paintings and sculptures are not.
You definitely have like a conjoined theme. What is that? What inspires that?
I'm not sure. I just kind of like I'm attracted to like the weird and like things that can still kind of occur in nature, but are just like rare.
Can you imagine if these were at like the Humane Society as adoptable pets? Like, what if you could adopt a conjoined twin skeleton man woman and child?
That would be like a dream come true. I have Monster World. That is.
Have you thought about having an exhibit where it's like an adoption, but for weird, what was it, chaotic creatures?
Why not? Sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Adopt a weird creature today.
Like a conjoined dog?
Yeah.
Like, you would have that?
And you can mix and match. Maybe you can mix and match them.
Yeah, why not? Pick their parts.
Was your favorite show Cat Dog?
I did love Cat Dog.
I knew it! That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Can't decide which creature and kind of throw them together.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's super cool. He was talking about her.
I wonder, okay, if this, okay, this is my last question. Hypothetically, if this becomes the norm, what is Halloween even going to look like? Like, if you're the status quo, what is the scare, what becomes scary? What becomes horror after this?
Normal?
Okay.
Sir. Normalcy, yeah.
So it becomes Halloween.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. Awesome. Cool, thanks.
So, you're the owner, and you brought this tree because it outgrew your friend's house.
So, my coworker Sarah, her old housemates had this tree that they, and then because they started having a family with two kids, they were like, it's too big for the house, and she took it. But her house is a house for tiny people, and it got way too big one summer, so we moved it here.
It was like overthrowing the house. It was like house takeover. It was like more tree than living room.
Literally, if you're over 5'9", you can't live in Sarah's house. That's how tiny it is. Like, the ceilings are just really low.
That sounds scary.
Whoa. No. Must be this short to live.
I mean, I was exaggerating, but thankfully her and her husband are very short people.
Yeah, that's really cool. What kind of events do you try to cultivate or, you know, bring to the salon?
Mostly this, what you see today. Like,
yeah.
We rotate artists quarterly, or try to. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. And then this is the first reception we've done since the pandemic started. Usually we do an opening, but this is a closing reception. So it's honestly, like, Aaron and I have been like, what do we do? I don't know what's happening. It's been 3 years. But yeah, this is typically what we do. We've tried to do Art A Whirl, but we're just too far off the Art A Whirl path, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about starting your own festival called, like, Art A Twirl?
Maybe, like, Crypto Whirl.
Yeah, Crypto Whirl.
Yeah.
And then you're off the grid, decentralized art festival.
Oh my god, that would be so awesome. We could get like a bouncy house that was like looked like a Mothman or something. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And you have to come in cosplay and you have to be a cryptid.
I like that. That sounds like a lot of fun. When is this going to be? Tomorrow?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next weekend? No.
You
that's a good idea.
I like it. I'll let Aaron know.
Because you're an innovator, clearly, and you're re-pioneering art. And so what a great way to start your own thing and then decentralize. Then Art A Whirl is like, we're too far out from Crypto World in the bouncy cap.
Get in on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Okay.
That's
put it,
cool.
I'll put it in my bank.
Are you an artist or something?
Not really. The only thing I've ever done is cross stitch, and so like that's mine. The hobo banana I made. The struggle is real. I made the hobo banana up there.
Oh, cool! Those are really cool.
I
like
that.
Cute. How long has salon been here?
6.5 years.
Oh wow! Yeah.
How long have you not been painting or drawing?
42 years.
That's awesome.
When do you think you'll start?
Next weekend when we have Crypto Whirl.
Yes.
I'll do really bad paintings of everyone's cryptid cosplays. Yeah.
cool. I wanted to host like a bad art making night where like it invites people who aren't artists to create because the bar is bad art. So it's like, oh yeah, I can make that.
That's awesome. Do you want to see a really cool bad art? Not, it's good art, but it's tacky.
Yeah, I want to see this good bad art.
Aaron's husband is here.
Wow.
We gotta step in so I can see it.
He put the cryptids into this shitty thrift store painting, and it's my favorite.
So it's like adding your own art into other art.
Yep. I actually love that idea.
It's my husband actually was like, I've always wanted to do that. So like get shitty paintings of Jesus from the thrift store and then turn him into like a pirate.
I think that's a great idea because this looks like something you would see in like your grandfather's or like basement.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, yep.
And it's always like just like it's nice, but it's also just like,
yeah.
Like, I love that little sea monster coming out of the lake. I love it.
That should actually be a service where you take people's old paintings and then just add your own monster, creepy crawlies to them.
Aaron and I actually were collecting landscape paintings from thrift stores, and we're gonna talk to our artist friends like Danielle and everyone to. And commission them to do this.
Yeah.
And then we would just like do that as an installation one time. But then we didn't do it because that's a lot of work.
You should do that.
I know.
Or at least, yeah.
At least for Crypto World.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Cool.
And you got sparkly
curtains.
Is this
a shampoo room? This is so cute.
And then our bathroom looks nothing like the rest of the salon, but check out our curio cabinet.
Ooh, I love this so much. You got
our
jars
Maggie.
Full of creatures and stuff. Hearts.
Yep.
Oh, who does this? They like make that and like their kind of art.
Their full name is Maggie Falco. Danielle would know.
Okay, cool. I love that. This is so cute and creepy. I love.
Okay, this is why I don't make my bathroom this cool because then people don't leave it. Then people just hang out. I'm like, it's been 3 hours. They're like, yeah, it's still looking at your stuff.
I gotta take a crap. Get the hell out of my bathroom.
Right. So I try to like make it less cool so people can cycle.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah.
Do people ask if they can like let their hair dry on the toilet in there?
Let their hair dry in the toilet? That seems
like
counterintuitive. No, they don't. It's pretty new, actually.
Okay.
It's scared a couple people, and then other people love it.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, all right. Thank you so much for the interview.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Unless there's anything else you wanted to add.
Yeah.
No, because I want to say hi to my friend.
Yeah, you got a host.
Okay. Did you put this on? Is this your?
Yes. Yeah. So, well, this isn't my art show. This is Bailey and Danny's art show. So I'm one of the four members of the OAC, the Otherworldly Arts Collective. And so we try and just have some solo shows for our artists so that they can be represented kind of on their own. So with Danny and Bailey, like they didn't have enough work for a solo show by themselves, so we just kind of did this one as a duo show. But if you know of other artists that want to come and show that are looking for spaces, you should send them our way.
Yeah, I know a lot of artists. Yeah, totally.
That's each other. Like, you really understand artists and who would really bond. And I think that's a part of being a curator, is knowing which spaces to curate.
Very cool.
So what do you think the future of Otherworld, like, here's what I was wondering. So if this becomes normal, like, let's say otherworldliness becomes normal, what is Halloween going to look like? Like, what becomes the scary thing then?
I mean, I guess, like, imagination is endless, so I hope it gets even more vast than where we are now.
Do you ever have visions for people's art? And then you're like, oh my God, I could see you making this. And then they're like, you know, tempted to curate it.
I don't think that I have visions for people's artwork. It's more that I hope that we are a support system so that they feel like they can have the spaces to create stuff. That's what I want them to do. But I'm not going to make them do anything. I mean, like, I realized that, like, I put both of these people together kind of against their will, where I was like, can you please just hang out with me? Yeah, I was like, I think both of you will do really great together. And they were like, eh, and I was like, come on. And they were like, okay. And then they're doing great. And their artwork complements each other.
Yeah, it does. Awesome. Do you do a lot of art shows here? Do you usually?
So I took this over kind of post-pandemic. Someone else was doing it for a bit. And we always had some otherworldly arts collective people kind of like in and out from our artists. So now I'm taking it kind of going forward, this and then a couple other spaces in Minnesota. And so, like, it just depends on who has space available to that can, like, you know, kind of support, like, a little opening like this and, you know, have people and everything. Also, it's kind of dependent on, you know, like, how much commission they're going to take and everything. We want the artists to try and make as much money as they can. So for stuff like this, it's like tonight, any of the stuff that's sold is for them. It's 100% to them. So if you're going to buy something, tonight's the night.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome. Awesome. Do you have any? Cool. Thanks.
What is that futuristic time machine?
Whoa,
it's a portal to the future.
Pardon me? I didn't hear you.
What brought you out here?
Well, I'm friends with Juan and Danielle, and I also have had my hair done here forever. I'm friends with Anya, and so I was coming out to see my friends, and then also to see the art, because I enjoy looking at people's art. And it's nice to get out of the house.
It's nice to get out of the house should be an ad for a lot of events.
Well, I know. We're still in kind of convoluted times, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's called Excelsior.
Okay.
And
Excelsior, is it Excelsior?
It's all, it's Excelsior. Yes, yes. And it's
pronounced
Excelsior. How did you know?
I don't know. I just know random shit.
Are you psychic? Pardon me? Are you psychic?
No.
You're my number one fan and I don't even know yet?
Something like that, maybe.
I love that. What?
I'm a literary person and I just know about that word and it's generally pronounced Excelsior.
I love it.
It's
the best.
Vanguard into whatever adventure you're adventuring into.
Ooh, I love that. That's the best description of that word ever.
I try.
Even better than the Wikipedia one.
I am not your Wikipedia.
You're better. You're better.
I am some other thing.
So bad. So much better. What's your favorite piece of artwork here? What's your vibe?
I kind of like the two-headed skeletal mermaid thing. I don't know if it has a name. Yeah.
How much would you pay for that? I know it's not for sale, but how much would you if you could?
Well, I don't really buy sculpture because I don't want to dust it. I'll be totally honest.
And that rib cage would be really hard to dust around.
And in my house, I like to fry food once in a while, and everything that sticks out gets really dusty and everything. And so I'm like, ah. But I mean, it looks like it took a lot of effort and creativity. So I would guess it's a $600 to $800 piece, at least. But I don't know anything about our prices. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think it's for sale. But I mean. So it's probably like $1 million. I bet she would take it for that.
Well, if it isn't for sale, then that would be priceless. And I guess most people here wouldn't have $1 million. So there you go.
There's a price on anything, though. Like, if someone's like, I'll buy you a new house if you give me that piece.
Oh, I'd be like, take it. Right? Actually, I would say, though, I really like my house, so I probably wouldn't take an offer like that right now.
But then you could rent it out. You could have two houses. You don't want two houses?
No, that's a lot more maintenance. Do you own a house? They're a pain in the ass.
Absolutely not.
No, they're a pain in the ass. They're a lot of work.
Yeah.
No, I've lived in my house for over 20 years now, which I never thought would happen. But I finally got it like tenderized to be what I want it to be for the most part, and I don't want to do it all over again.
It only took 20 years to decide you like it.
No, I always liked it. But it took 20 years to get all the shit done. I mean, there's just like a lot of stuff to do. You are welcome to come over and visit sometime.
Okay.
Like both of you.
I would love to see your house.
You can hang out. You can sauna. I have a sauna.
I love to sauna.
In the garden.
I love gardens.
Just saying.
Where do you live?
Stuff does not happen overnight. I'm not going to give you my address.
No.
Saying this. Just like, you want my number later. You
can. Okay, we can deal with this later.
He doesn't think I'm sincere. You're not used to people like me, are you? I am not your typical Minnesota girl.
Typical, atypical Minnesota.
You're not your typical Minnesota girl, are you?
Nope.
Because if someone says to you, Excelsior, would you, like my podcast, would you assume it's from the city of Minnesota?
No. I mean, when I hear the term Excelsior, I think about like cliff jumping or something.
See, you're so smart.
Proclaiming my excitement and leaping off of something. That's what I think about.
I love that because that's what it's supposed to mean. It could, everything you're saying, not everyone keeps saying, oh, Excelsior, is that where you're from?
Well, we do have an Excelsior from around here, but that would be a pretty short podcast because you'd be talking about like rich people's boats or something.
Yeah, maybe Maynard's.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe just some, you know, some.
I grew up in the West End, so I know a little bit about Excelsior. And the best thing about Excelsior was that dinner theater that they had where you could have a beer and a pizza and watch a movie. That was the best thing about Excelsior.
That does sound nice, but now they have it other places. Right? Don't they have like.
Not a lot. And I don't know if that one's still there because, you know, the pandemic killed many good things. Yeah. But no, if I think of Excelsior personally, I think of it as more of a. No, I'm going to forget the filmmaker's name. The guy that did The French Laundry and Wes Anderson. I think of a Wes Anderson film where young lovers, you know, go camping together and try to run away. Like that movie.
That's a great movie. What is it called again?
Something about. I'm not remembering
not
the name
of
it.
Pandemic could kill me.
That's because it's like a fungus.
I mean, that is their primary ingredient, so.
All right, well, thank you so much. You're delightful.
Well, thank you. I just don't get out of the house much, so I could save up my lines, you know?
I love that. Well, I'm gonna come over for dinner tomorrow.
Not on a Sunday. Not on a Sunday.
I'm just kidding.
But we'll talk.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Thanks for making life.
How's it going?
It's going very well. Thank you.
Awesome. So you guys just got to the art show here?
Yeah, that's correct. We just arrived.
Awesome. So you haven't seen Bailey or is it Danny? Is art yet?
This is as far as we got so far.
Just to the door.
The door to here. This is how far we've made it.
That's about, what, 6 feet? We're 6 feet in.
What do you hope to see in there?
Well, I'm hoping to see Bigfoot. It's a cryptid art show in a cryptid space, and I have an obsession with Bigfoot. And I'm really going to be disappointed if I don't see a depiction of Bigfoot.
Interesting. You're going to be really disappointed if you don't?
Very disappointed.
So I hear you have to wear like beer goggles to see them. Clearly.
Then we have a problem, people. I'm not going to see him if I need beer goggles.
Some people have foot fetishes. Would you say you have a big foot fetish?
It's not a fetish. It's not sexual. It's the one thing in my life that is not sexual, actually. It's it's a fascination that spans my whole life, starting over 50 years ago.
See ya.
Bye.
It's been an obsession for over 50 years. I ended up with an undergraduate degree in physical anthropology, and I've just been like obsessed with the whole thing for a long time.
The whole phenomenon, like the whole, people looking for Bigfoot. It's not this obsession with Bigfoot, but the whole phenomenon.
Exactly. It's not, because I don't believe Bigfoot exists, for starters.
Phenomenon.
I'm obsessed with the social, economic phenomenon that perpetuates our thoughts on this. It's a sociological and economic.
What economic phenomenon do you think created Bigfoot?
Well, I don't think it was created as an economic phenomenon. It is perpetuated as an economic phenomenon. For example, there's a great deal of money that changes hands in tourism regarding Bigfoot. In fact, Reamer, Minnesota has a festival every year that attracts tourists. They call themselves the Bigfoot Capital of the United States. So between merchandise, books, tourism, this is actually big business.
Bigfoot business. And I just realized, hey, you're right, like Bigfoot economizes pixels on a camera.
You know, that's one way of putting it. But more importantly, if you're going to be totally accurate, it economizes blurry pixels.
Yeah. See, sometimes I just take blurry pictures because then it's like, it's a mystery. You know, then I have to like really think hard. You know, it's like, it's a way of testing myself to see if I remember I was there. Like if the picture is blurry, then I have to be like, yeah, that's right.
Well, it's kind of like a Freudian Rorschach test. What you see in the image says more about you than the actual image.
So has there been a recent photo of Bigfoot?
Yeah, it's constant. Grainy, blurry images of...
But it's 2022. I mean, every phone takes a great photo.
And that's the irony. See, I personally don't believe that the phenomenon exists. I don't believe it's possible that a creature that weighs 800 pounds can be globally distributed in populations great enough to not succumb to inbreeding.
I think you're talking about bears. I think it's a bear that they saw.
Yeah, well, you know, I think what is getting seen is a lot of projection, a lot of photo manipulation in the form of actual hoaxing, and a lot of mistaken identity is what's actually in the pictures. Because I don't believe it's possible that a globally distributed animal of that size can have existed up until the modern era without any physical evidence.
Do you think that at one point there was a Bigfoot, but it's like they're all gone and extinct?
Actually, it's well established that at one time there was something called Gigantopithecus. It was about 12 feet tall, perhaps related to orangutans. It was East Asian, however, and there's no evidence that they crossed the Bering Land Bridge into North America.
My favorite part of all of this is like Bigfoot survived upgraded camera phones. When it was like 2015, I was like, is Bigfoot gonna survive the progress we're making in Samsung products?
You know what's really interesting about the whole phenomenon? Bigfoot enthusiasts can be... Am I boring you? Because I can talk about this for a long time.
I'm very interested, actually.
Okay, Bigfoot enthusiasts are in two different camps, and they don't like each other, and this is really interesting.
That is interesting. I forgot about that.
There's a group of people who want to look at this as a biological phenomenon. You have an animal that's perhaps ancestral to Gigantopithecus that crossed the Bering Land Bridge into North America, and some people see them, and they're elusive because they're rare, right? That's one school of thought. The other school of thought is kind of a New Agey, kind of indigenous spirituality-rooted way of looking at them as spiritual entities that can walk between different planes of existence and aren't totally corporeal. Well, if you go to some Bigfoot conventions where they have
scientists and they have biologists and they're trying to...
How many conventions have you been to?
Believe it or not, you're not going to believe this, never once. And I feel, I read this hysterical article on this guy who went to a Bigfoot convention, and he said the thing that struck him the most is how boring everybody there was. He goes, this was the most boring group of suburban run-of-the-mill white men that you're going to see anywhere. He goes, missing from this whole crowd were any of the colorful characters you're going to see at a Renaissance festival or science fiction convention or a place like this. He goes, it was really just the most garden variety, boring, suburban white guys who, like, you know, fix their lawns, you know, and stuff like that. So it's like, so there's that camp, the group of people who are like, this is a biological phenomenon. And then they're the new agey kind of weirdos who are like, oh, this is a spiritual phenomenon. He walks through different planes of existence, and that's why we can't find physical evidence. And these groups don't like each other because the group of people who want to see this as a biological phenomenon feel that the other group will invalidate their thinking.
I like the spiritual phenomenon one because then it's like, it really...
I feel like it is spiritual. I feel like it just walks through everyone's imagination.
You know, and that's really interesting. Because one...
It's alive in my imagination.
Yeah.
That's interesting because one school of thought is, okay, during the course of human evolution...
Why are there schools on this?
There was, at one time, there was this idea that there was a linear progression. Australopithecines, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Neanderthals, modern humans, right? Then we soon learned afterwards that there was a lot of cohabitation in the same ecosystem of more than one human ancestor, right? You had Australopithecus sharing space with what we call Homo habilis or Homo erectus, right? They coexisted. So it's what they call the Tolkien school of human evolution, where you had multiple species of human ancestors coexisting simultaneously. So there's this idea that coded into our neuroanatomy, coded into our brains, is the knowledge and understanding of other human-like creatures as a possibility. And for example, Homo erectus coexisted with Gigantopithecus. On the island of Flores, I don't know if you're aware of this, there was a find of a diminutive human that they dubbed the Hobbit that may have coexisted with modern humans as recently as 18,000 years ago, right? So you had modern humans, modern like us, coexisting with these tiny, small-brained ape men sort of creatures, right? So coded into our neuroanatomy is an awareness and an understanding of other kinds of bipedal human-like creatures, right? And I think that's where, and there's a word for it, and I'm sorry I can't remember the word, but the tendency for a person to look into ambiguous structures and accidentally see a human form. There's a name for that, right? But that's also very adaptive when you think about it. When you lived in an ancestral habitat, like a forest, what's the most dangerous thing you're going to run into? Another person.
Bigfoot.
Actually, another person.
Yeah, it's true today.
Even true today. An unexpected surprise encounter with another human is the most dangerous thing you're going to run into. Yeah. So we are pre-wired, pre-coded to accidentally see, pardon me.
No, you're fine. It's kind of like you should put eyes around your house so that when no one will break in because it's creepy. Yeah. Well, see another person, they're going to...
Or that would attract
something.
Yeah.
Spirits, entities, demons.
Yeah.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. Thank you so much for the interview.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. I hope you find Bigfoot.
You know, I'm very...
In there.
I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you.